This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Another week. We now have 4 weeks remaining in the trip. This week, again, was with the Compassionate Entrepreneur Club. And altogether, there's 15 of us, including me in the group. There were 3 Ugandans and 12 from Utah who came with the Compassion Entrepreneurs Club. This week we were in Jinja. Jinja is located on the source of the Nile, where Lake Victoria becomes the Nile. And that is a place I've lived for almost 8 months. So I'm quite familiar with that place and the people there and the area there. And it's a very tourist heavy area, and not just tourists, but expats and people who are living there from other countries. There's restaurants and resorts and things that are closer to what you'd expect at an American level. So in Jinja, because of all of those nice places, you're able to live at a closer to American lifestyle, at a much, much closer to American style of spending. So you're spending about similar prices for burgers and pizzas, and it's so much that it's like a week's worth of food to someone who is living in Uganda. But to you as a visitor, it's actually not a bad price for it, considering you're used to buying it at a certain price in America. So those rich places are really quite prevalent in Jinja because of the many people living there who are from other countries, and many being relative, many compared to a lot of the cities in Uganda, but there's not like many, many. And there's a lot of souvenir shops too, where they make bracelets and all these different animals carved and everything. So it's cool. It's definitely runs a lot off of the visitors and the people from other countries more than other cities, but it's a really nice place to be, except for the roads. The roads there are really bad still, worse than other cities. I don't know why, but that is Jinja in a nutshell. Source of Nile, Lake Victoria, resorts on the beach, and hotels and restaurants at higher standards, at higher prices too. So we spent a week there, and with the group, I went to some villages, Budondo, and to some other group centers where they're teaching literacy to children. And we had different games we'd play, whether it's like clapping games or rhythm games, but that would teach some English and help them become familiar with English in particular too. And that was great. whether they're acting out stories or playing some relay races or playing some rhythm games. It was great to see them and to spend time with all these people and to see how quickly they can pick up languages. I'm not sure how they do it. It's probably just the association with so many languages in the area as they grow up. But even in this, in the country of Uganda, there's over 60 languages. And most people know 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. And so it's really easy for them to learn a language. In America, we like to say it's as easy as apple pie. But here in Uganda, they say it's as easy as learning a new language. That's just part of their culture, is being able to pick up on new languages. They move to a new town, they want to know a new language, and they can learn one really fast. The immersion, I'm sure, helps. The confidence itself probably helps that they can do it. But whatever it might be, they are fast at learning languages, at least in basics, maybe not in complex discussions. Also this week in Jinja, we visited a tech center, which had a bunch of computers. And it was run by the Be Selfless group, which I'll meet more with them next week. And so I'll talk more about them next week. But it was interesting to see how there are already groups here helping people to learn skills, to learn trades, and to do online degrees to educate them. And the way that they're going about that, it seemed like a really good system. Like I said, I'll have more details on that next week. So I'll include more of that in next week's episode. But it was good to visit that and see how that was running. We also played a lot of sports this week. Sports, specifically football, or I guess soccer, and some basketball with people who love sports and are great at sports. And some of these people that we played with are really, really, really good. And if there was more of a presence of sports there, they could probably get somewhere. They train every day, like they're all in. And they're good at it too. So that was interesting to see. There might be something there. I don't know enough about sports or follow enough sports to have any idea on how to implement that. But there's something there if someone else is able or willing, or knows someone who knows something about sports and recruiting or creating teams or whatever. I don't know what would be a path forward, but it was interesting to interact and see how good they were just there on their bricks and broken nets hanging down, and pitches where the goals are just two rocks representing where the goalposts are. Just these basic little pitches or fields, I guess we call them fields, but there was such energy and teamwork and skill and dedication practice going into it. Really quite interesting. As for connecting, one of my original things I talked about was searching for a way to connect Uganda with the Western world, specifically Americans, and to bring the money from there, probably via online, to those in Uganda. And I've seen some people who are already doing that in action a little bit. One of my oldest friends here has been studying, when I left, he was studying animation. I actually met another guy studying animation on this trip. So if it's someone, again, that's something else that could be pursued, probably by someone with more experience than me. But there are some animators here who are happy and willing to work and would love to get into companies, especially as a step ahead toward bigger companies. One that I talked to, his name is Chris. His dream is to work at Netflix someday, Netflix animation. Don't know why I specifically chose that one, but that's what he told me. Then this other one I talked to, he was doing animation when I left, but now that I'm back and we're talking to him, catching up, he's focused more on video editing. Feels like that allows him to be more creative and to show his skills, and more marketable for that matter. He's really good at video editing. He can do things fast. He can do them nice. And his biggest thing he's looking for now are connections to customers. There are some systems already set up for that, but we could probably set up, or at least teach them how to get connected into the systems that are already there or to set up more systems. And so there were some leads there that I'm going to pursue as I talk to him and look up how that could work to allow us to move forward on that too. Because that one wouldn't require much. If it's just a little bit of training, it doesn't require much capital at all. It just requires sitting down with them, explaining it to them, and then helping them to understand it enough that they can explain it to others as well. So that's pretty great. That was another thing that we did, that with people and avenue I explored in Jinja. I saw with a lot of the expats there, if I was to start a retail, there's one product here that I haven't seen here at all. And that is board and card games. You might have Monopoly. Well, the Chinese knockoff version that has different properties to what's on the board. Yeah, those are available, kind of. If you go to the right supermarkets, you have Monopoly. You can find, like, normal playing cards. And in a rare situation, you can find one or two other games, but not in an expected place. There's one store in Mukono that has something like that. But they're also just random. And it's not their main focus. They just happen to be there. So altogether, there's an opportunity there. Especially if it was set up in a place like where I visited, called The Hangout, where there was kind of like a food court. There's different shops set up where you could get food from different cuisines. And then you go to sit down at the tables in the park. It was a very organized and clean place. And there were a lot of people there, not originally from Uganda, but that were now living in Uganda. So we talked to some people who were renting a shop there and asked them how much it was per month. And it was really a high amount. For food, it's fine, because food, the same people can come back and buy it day after day, or at least week after week. But when you're doing something like materials, anything that we brought, like anything beyond food, once it's bought once, you usually don't buy it again. And if you do, it's a one-off thing. It's not a normal thing to come back and consume more. So I don't think that specific location would work at the prices they had to rent, unless you're able to talk them down or get a smaller space at a lower price. But there was a possibility there of marketing to that. And I think it'd be possible to have some of them, like some card games, simple card games such as Uno, Skippo, maybe even some others. But these well-known simple card games that are not available there, but are loved when someone brings them there and plays them there, could be at a cheap enough price that many Ugandans could buy it, especially as a gift or as a one-time purchase. And also in a place like that, have the bigger games and sell those at a higher price, thereby trying to connect both markets, but focusing on the rich market. It's a possibility that I'll look into, but not certain yet. Additionally, in Jinja, we were able to go to a resort and they had a zip line there. And so they have event things like that, and there was some other place, like they did bungee jumping and things. So there's like some opportunity for those type of things. But I didn't see any water activities. They did things by, like the supply was over the Nile, but it wasn't in the waters of the Nile. And there is some risk to this. The current's quite strong, but people were there rowing. Like one person was rowing their boat across, and just him and his one paddle just switching back and forth. And surprisingly, he made it very well. The current looked strong, but he did it really well. So it's not impassable. In fact, it's, and I didn't see any water sports there. And so water sports of that type could also be a potential. That one would require a lot of capital though, to get beachfront property and then go from there. Though there were some resorts that went out of business that I used to go to. So I know there's some where somewhere for sale, but it's the one that went out of business. So they'd have to have a different plan and things if they had a chance to bounce back. That was another interesting thing Jinja itself is, as you can see, a hotbed for a lot of possibilities there when connecting to tourists and to people from other countries, as I mentioned a couple of times before. But just now, I think you can see the different avenues and things that I noticed while I was there, some of which we did and some of which we saw but we did not do, even though the bulk population there is very much the same as in other places that I've discussed, such as Masaka and Kampala. So yeah, that was an interesting time there. The Compassion Entrepreneur Club left last night, and so now I'm back just to focusing on my own business side of things instead of focusing on those leadership and literacy centers, and then seeing how business affected our trip. Now I'm back to my conversations, my meetings, my discussions, my interviews, my thought, my brainstorms with people who are in business, trying to get, you know, with everyone. All in all, that is a quick rundown of Jinja, the lessons I learned there, the opportunities I've seen, and some of the things that could happen later. Many of those, like I said, are out of my wheelhouse. They could become in my wheelhouse, but I think I have enough that I am familiar with that if anyone else is interested in those, they can reach out to me for more information and I can connect them with the relevant people. Till next time, Uplift Uganda. Uplift Uganda is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode is written and produced by me, Trevor Dykes, with music and post-production by Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank Compassion Entrepreneur Club again for coming to Uganda and letting me be a part of it. You can find more information on Compassionate Entrepreneur Club at compassionateentrepreneurs.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.